Hello, I'm Jeff Watts. Welcome to Advances in Eye Care. In this edition, we'll be discussing artificial intelligence, or AI, and machine learning. We'll be exploring how the rapidly expanding field of AI, described by some as the fourth world revolution, might both enhance and complement the role of the optometrist.
I think that systems of this sort, one day, will be used for every examination carried out.
AI has already shown much promise as a diagnostic tool in other healthcare fields, such as dermatology. Although its behind-the-scenes presence has already helped optometrists for many years, for example in a range of commonly used instruments, its value in assisting clinical decision-making is now becoming apparent. Dr. Samir Tricker, a consultant ophthalmologist and founder and chief medical officer at Visualytics Limited, has worked on developing several clinical decision support systems that use the principles of AI and machine learning. Samir, welcome to the program. Now, could you start off by providing an overview of artificial intelligence and machine learning?
So artificial intelligence is a very interesting area at the present time, and indeed it's really exploded in terms of the amount of interest over the past 6 or 7 years. The actual concept has been around since the mid-1950s. But in recent times, we've had, interestingly, the availability of a lot of data, as well as the ability of computers or computational power has increased tremendously to allow us to now look at this area of technology in greater detail. Artificial intelligence itself is a concept to essentially make computers act and work in a similar way to that of humans. And it's an umbrella term of which another area called machine learning is part of that. And machine learning essentially is a way in which machines can learn in a similar way to humans and produce very high levels of results. And machine learning typically can consist of traditional techniques like Bayesian reasoning, different other technologies such as random forests and decision trees, etc. And historically rely on large data sets of labeled data and what we call supervised learning. A variant of machine learning is known as deep learning, which is based on what we call artificial neural networks. And these are configurations that broadly mimic the human brain, in that the artificial neural network learns to take an input, it processes it, and it gives a predicted output. So, of course, you can then compare that predicted output with what the actual output is, if you know what the image is, for example. So let's say, for example, you want to build a neural network to differentiate in a picture between a cat and a dog. You can feed it many, many images of cats and dogs. It will then, over time, learn the features that are consistent with what is a cat and what is a dog. But there will be an area of a sort of gray area in between where pictures that aren't very, very conclusive. And of course, if you then apply human input, so you ask, you know, human experts to look at and produce a decision, it will get smarter and smarter and smarter to pick out a cat or a dog. But if you provided it with only pictures of cats and a picture of husky dogs only, it will do very well at picking out what a husky dog is, but not necessarily other types of dog, for example.
So what problems in the field of ophthalmology are these solutions intended to address?
I felt really that Visualytics as a concept for me was coined from the understanding that we have a huge problem in eye care. We have an exponentially growing population. Patients are getting older. There are more of them. And we know that by the year 2020, around the world, we'll have 80 million people who have glaucoma. Just under 200 million people will have age-related macular degeneration. And about 150 million people will have diabetic eye disease. And there's no way with our existing models of care that we'll be able to successfully identify all of those patients early on. And we know that if we can identify patients early, we can potentially get them to seek the appropriate treatment and keep them seeing well. And I really recognize that eye care professionals generally were struggling with the burden of this number of patients coming through. And so with the emergence of these new computational techniques in artificial intelligence, I also recognized that we had a large amount of data available to us to apply to these this technology to essentially provide decision support platforms that will allow eye care professionals who are seeing patients at the outset to make the best decision first time.
I understand you've been involved in the development of two AI systems, one based around OCT and another around digital imaging. Perhaps you could tell us a little about each of these systems and their capabilities.
So Pegasus was designed essentially using the sorts of systems that I've described, notably traditional machine learning techniques as well as deep learning, which underpins a lot of artificial intelligence. And it did so, it was trained by being given lots of images from a variety of different sources that had been validated as being consistent with particular conditions. It's designed specifically for optometrists and other primary eye care providers. And essentially it supports two main imaging modalities. One is standard retinal imaging, which can be ranging from undilated retinal images all the way to wide field imaging of the retina, and also supports high resolution scans of the central macular region, known as optical coherence tomography scans, which of course are becoming more popular in optometric practices and indeed around the world. So the system, if we talk about the Fundus system firstly, it consists of about 14 different AI algorithms all working together to basically analyze the health of the retina. And it does so quite comprehensively. It's able to analyze the health of the optic nerve to detect early optic nerve pathology or indeed conditions like glaucoma. It analyzes the health of the macula, so for potential conditions like diabetic macular disease or indeed age-related macular degeneration. And of course, can analyze the entire retina for signs of diabetic eye disease. It's able to classify the degree of diabetic retinopathy and importantly also provide specific visualization aids such as microaneurysms, hemorrhages and exudates, which are often present in the earlier signs of disease. So I think of the Fundus side as a very, very comprehensive AI platform that is able to pick up the three major blinding eye diseases and the earliest signs of those. On the OCT side, the system works in a similar way to analyze the entire 3D volumetric cube that the OCT can acquire, but it also supports a single slice if the eye care provider chooses just to take a single slice. And again, it analyzes that in a few seconds, and it's able to provide specialist level accuracy for the detection of tiny anomalies and also picking up subtle features consistent with dry macular degeneration, wet macular degeneration, which of course is a very serious condition, and diabetic macular edema. So that's Pegasus in an overview. One of the things to also add about Pegasus is that it's what we call device agnostic, meaning it can work with a variety of different OCT devices, which are commonly in the high street, as well as a variety of different retinal cameras, ranging all the way from expensive desktop cameras like the Canon or the Zeiss camera, for example, all the way to a smartphone with an attachment that can then be taken. A picture can be taken of the back of someone's eye. So one of the reasons why it's so comprehensive is also that it works across a variety of different devices.
So it is in fact designed to support the role of a community optometrist. Could you talk us through how the tool might be used by the ophthalmic practitioners?
Absolutely, and we recognise at Visualytics that community optometrists have invested heavily in equipment, for example, retinal cameras and optical coherence tomography scanning devices. And of course, it's really important for us that our systems need to be able to work out of the box, so that this is simply something that can be plugged in, integrated into someone's existing clinical workflow, and be able to provide them with that specialist level of decision support there and then where they are. So I can imagine in the context of the optometric practice, a patient may come in, have an eye checkup. They may also have a fundus exam, and as well as that, a retinal photograph taken, and also an optical coherence tomography scan taken of the macula. Whilst the optometrist is speaking to the patient, within a few seconds, a report is generated showing the artificial intelligence platform and what its suggestions and recommendations are. Now, what's really important with our system, it's been designed specifically to work alongside the eye care professional so that the eye care professional is able to read the report and actually look specifically at what we call visualization aids. So not only do you simply have a sort of suggested or recommended diagnosis, you also have a series of visualization aids to allow the user to look specifically and see, in inverted commas, where the AI system is looking. So for example, it can pick up microaneurysms, it can detect hemorrhages at the back of the eye, it can detect exudates, and will show you exactly where it's looking. And that's really important from a couple of viewpoints. We feel that transparency is really important for us to generate trust in this sort of technology, to allow our eye care professionals to be able to interact with the technology, override it if necessary, or importantly, educate and learn not only from it, but potentially teach fellow eye care professionals with certain examples. So I think overall that the approach that we've taken is very much as a decision support tool to provide not only a diagnosis, but also specific visualization aids to allow you to guide your observations better.
And would this perhaps allow non-skilled staff to gather data?
I think this is an interesting one. We know that with the numbers of patients coming through with potential blinding eye diseases, we're looking at 600, 700 million people around the world. And the numbers of trained optometrists and ophthalmologists are simply not keeping up with the global demand for eye care. So in certain parts of the world where we don't have any staff at all to take, or indeed eye care services are non-existent, there may be the potential to train staff up to a point to become sort of technicians who can take images of the back of the eye and potentially run this through artificial intelligence systems. However, I'm still very keen to make and emphasize that overall clinical ownership and responsibility remains with suitably trained healthcare staff. So these sorts of systems are not designed to be completely autonomous. They're designed to augment decision making. So this sort of system will never replace optometrists. It will never replace ophthalmologists. What it will hopefully do, and we're seeing that it is now doing, is actually assisting them to make better, higher quality care, and also, in a way, value differentiate their practice or their service from that of others.
So this tool won't be replacing the community optometrist anytime soon?
No, and I don't think it will, because ultimately, we as humans are trained to care for patients. Whilst these sorts of decision-making systems will allow us to make better informed judgments, the overall judgment would nevertheless be by a human. So the choice of whether to refer a patient from an optometrist to an ophthalmologist, for example, will always still remain with the optometrist. And similarly, regarding ophthalmology care, these sorts of systems may be adapted to be used in a better format for secondary care environments, for example, to triage and prioritize patients who may be in most urgent need of care, and maybe the patients who have fewer changes, maybe less of a priority, so to speak. Similarly, there is other functionality that we are building into the platform, which will allow us to treat patients, for example, with wet macular degeneration very precisely. Currently, what happens is patients typically come back for regular monthly monitoring, but with our AI system, we're able to detect rate of change, for example, or rate of response to a treatment very, very quickly. And so we can then tailor the treatment plan for the patient appropriately. So a patient who's responding very quickly to treatment may not necessarily need to be seen as frequently as somebody who's responding very slowly to treatment, for example. So I do fundamentally believe that these sorts of decision support systems will empower eye care professionals around the world and ultimately transform the way we care for our patients. But I do strongly believe that artificial intelligence and algorithms themselves won't simply deliver safe and effective healthcare. It's actually people and it's actually systems that do that. So what we'll need to do is embed these new technologies in a very efficient and effective way that can yield their best possible usage and, of course, improve the overall outcome for our patients.
Samir, thank you for that informative overview of AI as a field and the work that Visualytics is doing in the area.